There is coming a day when no heartache shall come, no more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be.
There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no pain, no more parting over there.
And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be.
What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land, what a day, glorious day that will be. What a day, glorious day that will be.
Corinthians, look in chapter 2 just for a moment. Now, the reading was in chapter 3, but if you look back at the chapter previous, you'll find where in verse number 14, the Bible says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him." In other words, that man that has only been born once, a natural birth, that person that has been born into life, you enjoy life as God's gift, but you don't know what it is to have spiritual life. You're a naturally born human being. You've been born once. Unfortunately, if you do not change that, you're going to die twice. You're going to die physically, and you're going to die the spiritual death, which is paying the eternal punishment for your sin forever and ever, because that debt can never be paid by you. Now, Christ has paid that debt. And if you will accept his payment for your sin, then you can be born spiritually, which is the second birth. That's a natural birth and a spiritual birth. So those who are only born once naturally will die twice. But thank God we who have born twice will only die once. And that's the physical death. So there's the natural man. You see that in chapter 2, verse 14. And then the Bible speaks of, in verse number 15, but he that is spiritual, there's the spiritual man. So you have the natural man, that man that has never been saved. Now listen, that includes a host of people. Now I'm going to make a statement. I want you to listen to me very carefully. That includes religious people. You understand that. You see, you can be religious and be lost. That includes good people. That includes moral people. You see, being good and being moral, being religious, doesn't make you saved. You are saved when you humble yourself under God and you realize that you're a sinner, not because the preacher said so, not because some denomination said that you're a sinner, but because the God of heaven said that you're a sinner. And because God says you're a sinner, we're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so there's the natural man, the lost man, the man that is not saved, the man that is in darkness. And then there's the spiritual man that has trusted Christ, that man who knows Jesus as his personal Savior, who has humbled himself and trusted Christ and said, I believe God's record of his own Son, Jesus Christ. I believe that God sent his Son into this old sin-cursed world. We measure time by it. Now, today's a very important day because today is the only day that we're promised. Amen? And today is June. It's June, I think, what, 20? Somebody help me out. 25th. Okay, June 25th, 2017. Now, if you are sitting under the sound of my voice and you believe that this earth is only 2017 years old, well, you need somebody to reach over and thump you in the head. Amen. Wake you up. This earth is older, and there's debate on, well, how old is the earth? Well, we know it's not millions of years old. But we also know that it's not 2,000 years old. So why is today 2017? I'm not talking about just in America. Listen to me now. I'm not talking about just here in America. It is 2017 in China. It is where they say, we don't want your God. Where they say, we want nothing to do with God. Where they say, there is no God. Where they say that Jesus is a farce. In North Korea, where they say that we're not going to acknowledge God, acknowledge that there's a God, where we will not allow a Bible, where we will say that Jesus is a liar and an imposter. Listen to me. 2017 there. Why? Because God wants to remind that crowd every day. I sent my Son to die for you. I sent my Son to die for you. I sent my Son to die for you. And as God is patient, as God is long-suffering, as God waits on sinners to come to him, he reminds us every day, I sent my Son to die for you. I pray when you got up this morning, as I got up this morning, that we were reminded afresh, God sent his Son to die for me. Amen. You know, I was talking with the juniors this past week in Bible school, and I asked them, we were talking about mountains, and I said, Mount Calvary is a very special mount. Now, I realize that the Bible doesn't call it Mount Calvary, but within the Mount Moriah, there's a hill on a hill far away, the songwriter said. There's a mountain within a mountain, and it's known as Mount Calvary. And there was something, listen, there is where something very monumental took place. God's only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, died on that mountain, brethren. He died on that cross. But don't you just, listen, don't stop it right there. I asked the juniors, I said, what happened on Mount Calvary? And one after the other raised their hand and said, Jesus died, Jesus died, Jesus died. And I said, you're leaving out something. 1 Corinthians 15:3, the Bible says Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Jesus just didn't die. He died for my sin and for your sin. Don't leave that part out. Yes, Jesus did die, but thank God he died a substitutionary death. He died for you. He died for you, and he died for me. And 1 John chapter 2 says he died for the sins of the whole world. Amen. John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world. Aren't you glad God's a world-loving God? Amen. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Amen. God loves them all. Amen. I'm glad God loves me. Amen. I'm glad God loves me. You say, preacher, you look like you get excited when you get to talking about God's love. I do. See, I realize I'm unlovable. I'm unlovable. You say, well, you don't look that unlovable. Well, sometimes I am. But when I compare myself to the holiness of God, all times I am. And yet God loved me. God loved me. God saw me at my worst and loved me. Sometimes we can see a person at their best and still have a little problem loving them. But I'm glad that God can see us at our worst and still love us. Still love us. And in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. But he just didn't die. Don't cut it off there. He died for us. He died for us. So there's a natural man. And then there's a spiritual man. Now within the spiritual man, I want to talk to you about two men. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. Paul's writing to a church here. Now, you don't have to turn back to chapter 1, but when he's writing to this church, he refers to them as saints, to the church of God, which is at Corinth. And here he calls them brethren. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he calls them brethren. And he said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Now, there's one group of saved people, spiritual. But now there's a second group that he mentions here, "but as unto carnal." So you see, within those that have been saved, there's spiritual and there's carnal. Now, I want to go back to a statement I made earlier. So you have, when you get saved, you're in the light. You've been passed from death unto life. You're from darkness into light. You're in the light. But there are those who are not only in the light, but they walk in the light. See, that's the difference. You have carnal and spiritual. Spiritual. There are those that walk in the light as they progress, they grow, they mature in their Christian experience. So you have the carnal, and then you have the spiritual. Now, carnal, now listen to me. Carnal, there's different reasons a person can be carnal. Now, don't miss this. It means fleshly. It means the old man. See, when you got saved, when I got saved, if you're here today and you trust Christ as your personal Savior, don't think that you're going to just quit sinning. It's not going to happen. Oh, I wished it would. One day it will, amen, when we all get to heaven. That day that they were singing about up here this morning, one day that's going to be a reality. And we're not going to sin. We'll never let God down again. Praise God, what a day that'll be. What a day that'll be. No more sorrow. No more sin in that place. We'll never let God down again when we get to heaven. But while we're here now, we have this old fallen nature. It's called the Adamic nature. It's that nature that we get from our father Adam. And when you're born, you have a sinful nature. And when you get saved, that nature is not done away with. You keep that nature. You just get a second nature. It's called a divine nature in the person of the Holy Spirit. And now there's a fight going on. Did you have that fight this morning? Amen. I fight that fight every day. How about you? The spirit and the flesh. I mean, there's a fight. Don't do it, do it. Don't do it, do it. Do it, don't do it. Right? It's a fight. Spirit and the flesh. Back and forth. Back and forth. Well, there's carnal and there's spiritual. Now, what is carnal? I want you to hold your place here in 1 Corinthians and turn back, if you would, to Hebrews. Now, that's turning back toward the back of your Bible, toward the book of the Revelation from the book of Corinthians. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 5. Some people think carnal is all bad. Well, you could be carnal because you just got saved and you haven't learned what it is yet. Now, listen to me. You haven't learned what it is yet to grow. And you're growing slowly, but you're still leaning toward the flesh. See, you don't get saved and just become a super Christian. Now, hear me now. Hear me. You don't just get saved one day and the next week, you're living like somebody who's been saved for 30 years. It's a process. It's a process. And so quit trying to pattern your life after the next person. You let God mold you and make you who you are. You grow as God is growing you, you see. You may not be ready for that step. God will, listen, but if you'll follow God, if you'll walk in the light as He is in the light, God's going to get you to where He wants you to be. Say amen with me now. This is Bible. Important. Carnal. Notice what he said here in Hebrews 5. Look, if you would, in verse number 11. Hebrews 5, verse number 11. "Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat." Now, just a few moments, we're going to turn back to 1 Corinthians, and you're going to see where Paul was calling the people at Corinth, this group, babes on milk. He said, "I can't give you meat. You haven't grown to that place." Now, as far as I can tell from the scripture, the difference between carnal and spiritual, babes and mature, is some people, all they ever talk about is what Christ did on earth. Can I tell you, you need to get beyond that. Now, don't ever get over it. Right? I still like a good cold glass of milk with my muffin, a donut. Amen. Amen. I got an amen out of a couple of people that never say amen in church. Hey, listen, I still like milk. Milk's okay. It's still good to remember what Christ did here on this earth for you. But now, what about meat? See, the work of Christ is not finished. The work of Christ on earth is finished. But can I tell you, there's a work that Christ is doing in heaven right now that you need to know about. It's the intercessory work, the high priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's when life gets good. When you are reminded, when you are taught, when you know that Christ has not saved you and left you here alone, that he's in heaven right now praying for you as your high priest. He knows your every care. He's touched with the feelings of your infirmities. Amen. See, he knows what you're going through. He knows the hardships that you're facing. The debt, the ache, the pain, the sorrow, the brokenness in your life. Jesus is in heaven right now praying for you. He knows about your situation. He knows about it. Oh, listen, take solace, church. Take great comfort that God has not forgotten where you are. Jesus knows exactly. I'm not talking about just geographically. I'm talking about physically and spiritually, mentally and emotionally. Jesus knows where you are in life. You see, that's when you get mature, when you realize that Jesus knows about my troubles. Jesus knows about my sorrows. I do not have to bear this burden alone. Jesus is the great burden-bearing Savior that has promised me that he'd come alongside me and help me in my toils and trials and troubles in life. Notice what he said here. He said in verse number 12, the latter part there, he said, "You're become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses," or their senses have exercised to discern both good and evil. Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians. There's strong and there's weak. There's carnal and there's spiritual. Now the carnal here that Paul's writing about, don't miss this. There's a church and it's at Corinth, and it happens in churches all over the world. It's one of my greatest fears is that as the pastor of this church, that this mindset and mentality that was going on there in Corinth would slip in to Fellowship Baptist Church. And it can happen. It can happen. It can start with me. And I have to pray constantly, God, help me to remember who this is all about. This is not about the preacher. This is not about the assistant preachers. It's not about the deacons or the teachers or the bus drivers or the missions director. This is not about the Freeman family, the Oliver family, the Merriman family, or the Thompson family. Listen to me. This is about Jesus Christ. Amen. And the moment that we forget that, we're going in the wrong direction. Amen. We're going in a bad direction. Now, here's what happened at Corinth. Don't miss it now. I want you to learn something that will help us all. The greatest thing that I can do this morning is humble myself under the mighty hand of God. The greatest thing God could do for me this morning is to remind me, Dale Freeman, I am the vine and you're the branch. If you abide in me, you'll bring forth much fruit. But now, Dale, without me, son, you can do nothing. That's the greatest thing that I could be reminded of this morning. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I praise God for it. Amen. Nothing the devil can do about that, but I tell you what he can do. He can make my journey along the way mighty bumpy. Listen, it doesn't take me going out, getting involved in debauchery and sin, visiting bars and getting drunk and carousing, wantonness and riotous living. All I have to do is think more of myself than I ought. Think I'm more important than Christ. Want people to look to me and say, well, Dale Freeman's the reason Fellowship Baptist Church is what it is. Dale Freeman's not the reason Fellowship Baptist Church is what it is. No more than Fellowship Baptist Church is what it is because of you. Fellowship Baptist Church it is because of God. Amen. Fellowship Baptist Church is because we want to make much of Jesus. Say amen with me. I want to make much of Christ. I want to make much of him. Now here's what he said. Here's the church. They were having some problems. What were their problems? Paul said, you're carnal. What were these people doing that Paul would call them carnal? They were lifting up men. They were saying, well, I tell you right now, that Pastor Dale, he's all right. But that Pastor David now, he really pushes my button. That Pastor David, he's all right. But that Pastor BJ, he's the deal. Huh? Well, that family can sing all right, but now that, and before you know it, there's competition in the church and there's no unity. And we forget why we're meeting here. We're not meeting here to promote ourselves. Hold your place here and turn over. Paul had to constantly remind this church, and I'm reminding us here today. God has done a great work here. But let's not sit back on our laurels and exhale and think, whew, we're going to coast on into glory land. No, brethren, there's still work to do. Amen. Still work to do. Still souls to save. Still ground to gain. Right? Still battles to fight. But we can't do it now if we think we're the reason. Yes, we're instruments, as we shall see in just a moment. And God uses different instruments to build his work. He's the master builder. And we're just tools in his hand. Listen to me now. Hold your place here. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. I want to read a couple of scriptures. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, are you there? Look, if you would, in verse number 5. These are some of the most precious scriptures in all the Bible. Here we are being reminded what this is all about. This is not about me preaching. Now, it's about preaching. Don't misunderstand me. But it's not about me preaching. This is not about thus and thus singing or thus and thus teaching or thus and thus being in a ministry position. Now, we thank God for every person that labors in the Lord here at Fellowship Baptist Church. I praise God for you. And it takes us all. Amen. It takes us all. And if you're not involved, I want to invite you this morning, get involved. Join us. We're on a great journey. Amen. We are storing up treasures in heaven. We're reaching people while we're here on this earth. Join us. There's a work for you to do. So, well, there's nothing for me to do. God would not have sent you here if there was nothing for you to do. Can I tell you, where God sends you to worship, a part of that package is that he sends you there to serve. And he gifts you with gifts and abilities. You say, well, preacher, I can't sing like so-and-so. God doesn't want you to. God wants you to sing like you sing. I can't preach like so-and-so. God doesn't want you to. God wants you to preach like he made you preach. I can't teach like this one, or work like this one, or work on a bus like this one, or do it like they do. You do it the way God made you to do it. Amen. So that's what we're missing. We're missing the way that God made you to do it. Fill in that blank. Right? Read 1 Corinthians 12, but right now we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at it. Don't miss it now. I'm talking to you this morning about making much of Jesus. Making much of Jesus. Look at 2 Corinthians 4. Look, if you would, in verse 5. For we preach not ourselves. God forbid. I believe I'd have to stop a man if he got up and just went on and on and on about himself. I'd just have to tell him, brother, we've heard enough about you. Let's hear about Jesus. Amen. I'm serious as I can be. If I want to hear about you, I'll give you a little money to publish a book, and I'll think about buying it. But I didn't come here to hear about you. I need to hear about Jesus, amen? I need to hear about Christ. I want to hear about Jesus. I'm not opposed to testimonies and people talking about what God's done in their life, but you listen to some people preach, and all they talk about is themselves. I'm not interested in that. How about you? I'm not interested in man worship. I'm not interested in that. I want to hear what Jesus has done and what Jesus is doing. Preach the word, Paul told Timothy. Preach the word. That's what we need. He said, we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Jesus, the Lord. And ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. What about that? Look at verse number 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God, and not of us. Brethren, that's it right there. God help us never to lose sight of that. Never. It's yet to be seen. I believe with all my heart the foundation is still being poured right here. And if Jesus doesn't come soon, there is no telling what God is going to do right here through Fellowship Baptist Church. But now we are Fellowship Baptist Church. You see, it's us. And God wants to do something through us. We turn back now as I give you a few thoughts and I'll close this morning. What is being carnal? Well, it's when people think they're important. Now, that's one way. And then another way is when people just won't live for God. They just want to live for self. Now, don't miss this now. When you study the Bible, there's two definitions of what carnal is. One definition of carnal is, I'm going to live for the flesh and I am going to do what I want to do instead of living for the Spirit and do what God said do. Now, that's a definition of carnal. But here we have a second definition. Notice what Paul gives it to us as. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, he said in verse number 2, he said, I fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. Now, here's why. For ye are yet carnal. What do you mean, Paul? He said, well, there's among you envy and strife and divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men? He said, you're too caught up in what men do instead of what God does. You're too concerned and you want to elevate the preacher instead of elevate Jesus. That's right. And they were doing it. Some were saying, look at it now. Verse number 5. Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? If you'll look on down in verse number 22 of chapter 3, you'll see where he adds a third one, Cephas. Now that's Peter. So you have these men in the church, and each one of them are a great gift to the church. Paul and Apollos and Peter. But people are kind of choosing teams and saying, well, I like the way he does it. Listen, you know, Harry Ironside said about this passage of Scripture, he said, imagine people fighting over servants. We're servants. Get it. We're not masters. Jesus is the master. I could see people fighting over what master. We're servants. Why are we fighting over servants? We're servants. But we're not. But we don't ever want to do that, right? We don't ever want to fight over servants. We don't ever want to try to elevate a servant to more than what he really is. At the end of the day, brethren, you're looking at a sinner saved by grace who is your servant for Christ's sake. Now, don't you forget that. Don't you forget that. Every dog needs a pat on the head every now and then. So there's nothing wrong with telling the preacher you appreciate him. There's nothing wrong with telling the missions director, hey, I appreciate the way that you handled the missions revival. And I appreciate this. Or I appreciate the bus ministry. Or I appreciate the assistant pastor's ministry or the youth or the children's. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. But we don't ever want to get to the place where we're like this. Where we start choosing and dividing. That's carnal, right? Now, what were these men doing? Watch this. Don't miss this now. Here's what they were doing. Look at it. He said in verse number 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Now, did you know there are those in this church that are great planters? And there are those in the church that are great waterers. See, every man has an ability. What is your ability? What is your ability? What is your ability? See, I don't have an ability. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You have an ability. The question is not, do you have an ability? The question is, what is it? What is your ability? See, God gave you an ability. What is it? Paul, he said, look at it here in verse number 5. He said, who then is Paul and Apollos? In verse number 6, he said, I have planted. Paul was a great planter. He was. Now, Apollos wasn't, as far as I can tell from the Scripture, he wasn't that great of a planter, but I'm going to tell you what he was. He was a great discipler. He was a great waterer. But did you know that you can plant all you want to plant and you can water all you want to water? Without God, nothing good's going to happen. Because it takes God to give the increase. Now, what is he teaching here? He is teaching that Paul and Apollos equally are just as dependent on God as one another. Can I tell you, no matter what you do in the church, brethren, no matter what we do in Christ's service, we are equally dependent on God as one another. We need one another, but oh, how we need God to move on our work and our service, don't we, brethren? Oh, listen. God, keep your hand on us. God, don't leave us to ourselves. Brethren, I've seen ministries that have turned from God and turned to man, and I've seen them go down I've seen them go down. I've seen them turn. They might have went up in number, but they went down in stature. They went down in spirituality, and they made that turn, and they got away from what really matters. Or should I say, who really matters? This is about Jesus. God, help us to make much of Jesus. God, help us to realize that this is about Jesus Christ. This is not about personalities, families, who gives the most money, who does the hardest work. Oh, listen. Every person has an ability. If your ability is to give a dollar, give it. God will take it and multiply it and do just as much with it as He gave a man the ability to give 100. I believe that with all of my heart. You do what God made you. You be what God and who God made you, and little as much when God is in it. Amen. And can I tell you, no matter how hard, how much we think we are, we're still just little. But when you get God in it, it's much. Now here we go. Don't miss it. I close with this. I'm going to do a little math today. Here we go. Can I get my numbers? Let's start can I go back from there? Trying to go back from there. Just help me out back there, Brother Ben. I want 0, 1. Here we go. You ready? Look at verse number 7. So then, neither is he that planteth anything. Now, I'm not a math scholar. I'm certainly not a mathematician. But I know that 0 equals nothing. I didn't even take Common Core to learn that. 0 is nothing. And Paul said, you know what? By myself. Now watch it now. He said, I'm a planter. Is that what he said in verse number 6? He said, I have planted. He said, I'm a planter. But verse number 7, he says, neither is he that planteth anything. I'm a nothing. I'm a 0. I'm nothing. And then he said, neither he that watereth. 0. But God that giveth the increase. He's the one that matters. Now, let me show you something. All right? Now, you see that one up there? That's Jesus. He's the one. Did you know there's only one way? Now listen, when you read the scripture, this is what Paul is teaching us. You want to make much of Jesus? You've got to be concerned about where you put yourself and where you put Him. Now watch this. All right? There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way. He didn't say I was a way. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Jesus is the only way. Can I tell you, when we meet here, Jesus ought to be the only one. There's only one person worshipped here. That's Jesus Christ. Amen? There's only one master. It's not the preacher. I'm the leader, but Jesus is the master. Amen? We've got to get this down, brethren. Oh, how if we're not careful, we'll get into personalities and all of these things. Jesus, like they sang this morning, He really is all that matters. He really is. Did you know that God could take me out of here and this church should be able to go right on? Just replace me with another 0. Amen. You can't replace that one. Now, you see where that one's at? It's after the 0. You know what that does to the one? Somebody tell me what that... Some young person, raise your hand. You can talk in church this morning. Some young person, raise your hand and tell me what that 0 does to that one when it's placed there. It devalues it. That's not one. What's that number up there? That's 1/100th. See, the one's in the 10th spot. It's 1/100. You see, you take one, that's a whole. But when you put a 0 in front of it, now give me 2 zeros up there. Now, what's that do? That makes it even a smaller number. That's 1/1000. Right? Let's go back to the 1 0. All right, so you got one person who said, I'm going to be before Jesus in the church. See what they just done? They made Jesus of lesser effect. Because they got to have their self before Jesus. Then you get a second person coming along. Give me a second 0 up there. Every time a person says, I got to be before Jesus. Give me a third 0 up there. You see what it does? When people look at a church, when people look at a ministry, and they see us 0s before they see the 1, you say, I've got to be seen. Make sure you're seen in the right place. Amen. Now watch this. Don't miss this. You say, well, the zeros, don't they have a place? Oh, they have a place. You just got to understand where your place is at. All right, you see now. See what those zeros do when you put them before the one? Now, let's get the other way around there, Brother Ben or Sister Janice. Now, let's get that 10 up there. Can we get that? Is there just 10? Or is that just it? We just have the two? There we go. 1. 100. That's nice. That's good. What does that do? If you put the zeros before the one, it lessens the one. But now that's a higher number. Let's go to another zero. That's a higher number. See, the more zeros get behind the one, the more value. Let's get another zero up there. You see how when you keep adding zeros on the right side of the one, the value increases. So what's Paul saying here? He's saying, hey, listen. You're not as important as you think you are. But you are important in God's economy. But you've got to realize your place. Your place is not before the one. You start getting before Jesus, and you're going to devalue in the public's eye. Now, we can never take away from who Jesus is. Jesus is Lord. Whether we admit it or whether we live like it or not, He is Lord, always has been, always will be. But now how people perceive Him has got something to do with me and you. Right? Amen. Has something to do with us. How do we want to see Jesus? How do we want this community to see Him? Can we get another zero up there? I'd like to just keep putting zeros behind that. Right. Amen? Right. Amen. I want it to be a billion, a trillion. Do you know, if we'll just keep putting zeros behind the one, Jesus is magnified. The more people in the church that's willing to get behind the one, the more Jesus is magnified and exalted. What about you? What's your place? You say, well, I got to be up front. I got to be before the one. Oh, you're messing us up now. See, we want to magnify Jesus. We want the name of Jesus to be honored and glorified. Paul writes this church and he said, hey, you matter. But you're wanting the wrong position. Find the one and get behind Him. And Jesus is the one. Jesus is the one. Not the preacher now. See, I'm a zero like you. You say, I don't like coming to church being called a zero. Well, I didn't call you that. When you get to heaven, tell Paul that. Look what he said in verse number 6. I have planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he that planteth, that's Paul, is he anything? Neither he that watereth, he's nothing. Zeros. But I tell you one that is one, but God is. God's the one. He's the one that gives the increase. He's the one that we want to magnify. So in the ministry of Fellowship Baptist Church, we want to magnify. Now, how can we work together? We can all work together to get on the right side of the one. Watch what he says, and I close with this. Don't miss it. Verse number 9. For we are laborers together. See, we don't want to be divided. Some on this side of the one and some on that side of the one. That's confusing, right? We want to all get together on the right side of the one. We want to magnify Jesus. He's the one. We want Him to receive all the glory. God knows my heart, and God knows your heart. And God help each one of us to want Jesus to get all the glory, all of it. But now we got to labor together. See, unity does that. We don't want to be some on this side of the one and some on that side. We want to be all behind, under the authority of Jesus, doing what the Bible teaches and what the Spirit of God leads. Amen? You want to make much of Jesus, find your place on the right side of the one, and the one is Jesus. Here's what he said. Don't miss it now. For we, verse number 9, are laborers together. I'm glad it doesn't stop there. With the one. With God. With God. We're laborers together with God. You're God's husbandry. You're God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. So, what's Paul teaching here? In the church is made up of Christian people. That's the only way you can be a part of the true church is to be a Christian. I'm not saying everybody in here is a Christian. The only way you can be a part of the true church is to be a Christian, to be saved. And if you're saved, God has a purpose for your life. But that purpose is not to be before the one who really matters, and that's Jesus Christ. If you'll find your place, and many of you have, and I want to challenge some of you that maybe you've been thinking about it. Maybe you've been considering, you know, I want to get involved. I want to do something. I want to serve God with my life. I'd kind of like to be a part of a bus ministry. I want to be a part of what's going on there at Fellowship Baptist Church. I believe it's headed in the right direction. I want to be a part of that. Well, you got to find your place. And I'll help you as the pastor. I don't know what that place is, but I can tell you where it is. It's going to be on the right side of the one. It's going to be on the right side. Because we want to make much of Jesus. You get yourself on the wrong side of him, we take away. And then people begin to look at personalities. I like the way he preaches. Well, I don't know that that's as important as what he's preaching. Or who he's preaching. Amen? I like the way she sings. I don't know that that's as important as who she's singing for. You see what I'm saying? So we have to be careful that we measure everything by Christ and by the Word of God. Let's all stand. I didn't go into it because of time this morning. But if you'll go over to chapter 4, you'll find where Paul said, you know what you are, brethren? You're just stewards. You own nothing. Nothing can own nothing. Right? You own nothing. But God has given you. He's given you some things to be accountable. He's placed some things under your stewardship. Be good stewards. And it's required in a steward that a man be found faithful. So here it is. There's carnal and there's spiritual. Which are you? You say, well, preacher, I'm saved. I'm in the light. That's great. But are you walking in it? Are you walking in it? Have you got beyond the fact that you're saved? And thank God, don't ever get over it. I didn't say get over you're saved. I said get beyond it and realize that God now saved you for a purpose, to do something. God has a work for you to do. And as you do that work, he wants you to do the work on the right side of the one. He wants you to bring honor and glory to Jesus and not build your own name. That's why I have a real problem when people say that God gave them a talent and they're out trying to, they're trying to spray that talent everywhere. The reason God gave talents, read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, is to profit the church. It's to profit the church. And so don't take what God's given you and go out and sing in bars and try to think, well, I'm doing God a favor. No, you're not. No, God gave talents to benefit and edify the body. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Because it's all about Jesus, brethren, and he's the head of the body. Let's bow our heads together.